448. 448.
One we don't sing very often.
448. I'm getting where he's from.
Amen.
Thankful this morning that we can come together and sing these beautiful hymns of praise. And we're thankful for the joy that we have because of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, I'm glad we've got something that was given to us. It was a free gift. It was taken care of by God. It's something we couldn't have gotten on our own. And it's something we don't have to worry about losing because we're not keeping it. Jesus Christ is. That's a blessing, Lord. We got something to rejoice in. Father, we do want to pray this morning that you would move in our service. Pray that you bless every person that came in this building, Lord, that they would get something from your word, from the fellowship of your people, from the singing of the hymns, and just from being here in the service. We pray that the power of God's Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us. As the song we just sang said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And God, you promised, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We believe that you're here today and that you will work a supernatural work that cannot be done any other way than to gather together as a local congregation and listen to God's word preached and sing hymns and praise God together. We pray you do it now. Do something special for us. Bless us in all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
167, 167. Amen, amen, amen.
Bring forth the royal diadem.
Going to be someday.
205.
She wants to go eat.
She's hurting.
Yeah, she wants to go eat.
She wants to eat.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low.
Brother Gipp was one of the speakers at the pastor's school last year, 1990 and 1991. And whenever I got tired of sitting and he got up to speak, all of a sudden I wasn't tired anymore. Because it was good. It was a blessing. We've had him here 3 times in the past, and we're crazy enough to have him back again. I've asked his wife if she would take her auto harp instrument. Now, I've got one, but I don't know how to play it. She does, and sing for us, and then Brother Sam's going to let you do whatever you want to, brother. It's all yours. Do you need a microphone? I can put one out. I'll do that.
From heaven to the manger, from great riches.
My subject today is gluttony. Life After Death, I preached on gluttony the day Church Baptist Church had dinner on the grounds. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 Corinthians 15. Now let me see if I got those right. Ecclesiastes 3. And 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to talk only about one thing. I don't think I got 3 points, and I know I don't have a poem. But I just want to talk about the way you look at things. That's all. Now, you wouldn't think that just the way you look at things would have such a influence on your spiritual life. I remember one time I was at some kind of a state fair as many years ago, and I wanted some corn on the cob, and so I walked over to where they were selling corn on the cob. It was late in the evening. The guy says, "Oh, man, I'm sorry. We don't have any." I said, "Well, praise the Lord."
And the guy looked at me like, are you nuts? You wanted corn on the cob, I don't have it, and you're saying praise the Lord. And he said, what'd you say that for? I said, well, man, I said, you sold all you had, right? He said, yeah. I said, that's what you're in business for, ain't you? He said, yeah. I said, well, man, that's really good. And the guy, I walked away, a guy kind of going, And it is just really in the way you look at things, all right? The guy should have been glad, and he probably was. You say, well, you ended up without a corn, you're a corn to cob. That's right. The guy got, he did what he's trying to do. I mean, go to a car dealership and say, I'd like to buy a car. It's, oh, gee, we only had 100 on the lot and we sold them all this week. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. This guy's going to be standing on his hands. He's going to be so excited. And so, it is all in the way we look at things. I'm just going to point some things out to you and then I'm going to let you go and pig out. All right. Look what it says, and notice what it says in Ecclesiastes 3. And it says, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Notice there's two directions given there. Spirit of man goeth upward, and the spirit of a beast that goeth downward. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the two Adams, and of course one Adam was Adam, who was in the garden and dropped the ball for all of us. The second Adam is Jesus Christ, who came down and died so that we could all have eternal life. And it says this, I'll pick it up about verse 44, it said, we're going to back up. Let's go up to 41. This doesn't have exactly anything what I'm saying, but God forbid you read too much scripture, you know? I mean, we just hate to get too much Bible in church. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now note, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's pray. Father, now I know you have a message here, and I know you have you certainly have the crowd here, God, for that message. God, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to take everything about Sam Gipp and all of my sins and all of my personality problems and everything, God, that would come between these people and your message. And I pray, God, you'd set those aside. And I pray, God, that you would not let me hamper your dealing with their lives and your dealing with their hearts. And I ask, God, that you would accomplish your purpose today. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now, what I want to draw your attention to, and that is this, verse 47, the first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And I want to talk to you today about only one thing, not 20, not 50, but only one thing, and that is the way you are looking right now. Now, I know some of you spent an hour in front of a mirror just to make sure you'd be looking all right when you got to church, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not worried about whether every hair is in place. When you got hair like mine, it's all over the place. Okay, I've got a little on the floor over here, and I've got some on my pillow in the trailer, and probably some laying out there in the parking lot, and it's radioactive. It's got a fallout problem. But I'm not talking about that you should look right. I don't mean that. I mean, what direction are you looking in your attitude, in the way you look at this life, in the way you transcend this world and journey across this world in your life? Are you looking upward, as the spirit of man has said it's supposed to look, or are you looking downward like the spirit of an animal? What are you doing? Are you like Adam, who is prefixed and has his gaze fixed on the earth? Or are you like Jesus, who has his gaze fixed upward in heaven? Now, really, people, that's all there is to it. You ever watch an animal? Watch a dog. What's he doing? He's always sniffing around. He's always got his head where? Down. You say what? Well, he's worried about his belly, just like you. Right? You ever watch a cow? He's always... You ever watch a horse? Oh, he's walking around with his head down. I mean, man, listen, I watched a snake one day. You know what it was doing? It was nosing around in a bunch of dead leaves trying to find something to eat. It wasn't looking up, it was looking down. You look at the animal kingdom, you look at the animals in this world, and their spirit is downward. You say, why? Because all they can think about is taking care of their belly, and they know what they're going to find that is going to feed them is going to come from what's below them. So they're always looking down. The spirit of an animal is always looking down. Bible said the spirit of man is supposed to be looking up. Well, where are you preoccupied? What do you spend all your time with? What gets you upset? What gets you excited? I'm going to talk to you about some people that are preoccupied with looking down, and then I'll point out some things about looking up, and then I'll just leave you, all right? I'll tell you somebody that's preoccupied with looking down, earth worshipers. Now, they wouldn't call themselves earth worshipers. They would call themselves environmentalists, earth worshipers. They worship a dirt ball, okay? That's right. Now, you think about this. Is your Father God this morning? Is it? Well, I don't mean this wrong, but you know what that means? Did you not come from the dirt of this world? Then, now get this, your mother actually is the earth. You know, the bumper sticker, take care of your mother. Environmentalism is a preoccupation with mama, not papa. You know that environmentalists and you agree 100% on one item, that man is the problem in every case? The problem is that they think that man's wickedness shows itself in what we do to the earth, and they never think twice about what they do to God. Amen. And we're trying to get them to look upward, and they're looking downward. Now you say, oh, well, I think we're supposed to be stewards of the earth. You never got that out of the Bible. That's out of hell. Amen. Now you mark it down. I had a preacher one time, and he said, well, don't you think we're supposed to be stewards of the earth? No! You're supposed to be the owner of the earth. I'll say, man, listen, the earth is mine. Probably go out there and pull all the grass out in the yard. I'll do it. You say, oh, listen, how barbaric. I don't let souls go to hell if I can help it.
Amen.
I try not to cross my God. I try not to offend him, and I try not to sin against God. I don't care about the dirt ball you live on.
Amen.
And the thing is this, you get a bunch of people on the out there, you know, they chain themselves to a tree. Now, I think that's great. I think, hey, listen, I think them people all ought to be chained to trees. You know the truth. I think they're probably less apt to hurt somebody else.
Right.
You know? In fact, I always want to go in a place where they're all chained on a tree and, you know, being concerned about their safety. And I've always thought maybe just go up for the extra lock and snap it through that chain. Maybe do it when they weren't looking, you know, and have them all stand there saying, well, okay, we're done for the day. The TV cameras are gone. And the guy takes his lock off and says, okay, I took my lock off. Take your lock off. Oh, what do you mean my lock? I didn't put that lock on there. Well, yeah, I put this lock here on. They've all left now. We have to get off this tree. Yeah, but I saw you put... Well, who put that lock on? I don't know who put that lock on, but man, I don't want to stay chained to this tree. I thought you wanted to be chained to this tree. Well, I don't want to be chained to the tree anymore. I think you all ought to be chained to trees. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, you think about this. If you're upset right now about somebody talking about cutting down trees or hurting owls or spitting on the ground or drilling holes in your mother to get oil out. If you're worried about that today, I'm going to tell you why. You've been watching too much of Dan Rather, too much of Tom Brokaw, too much of Peter Jennings. You've been reading too much Newsweek and Time Magazine, picking up Life Magazine, reading your newspaper as though they would tell you the truth. And all those things are preoccupied with looking down. I picked up a publication that said this, and this was a Christian publication. And a bunch of they had this, I think it was Urbana, you know, this big Urbana hoop-de-doo, you know, Urbana 91. And they got up there and they said, we are going to make the earth perfect again and present it back to Jesus Christ just like it was at the garden. I want you to know today that if you could, they won't. Hey, did you hear what I heard in the news yesterday about the biosphere? I love it. Listen, you never see anybody pray against something in your life like I've been praying against the biosphere, and they've already had two problems with it. They get them in there, and 3 days in, some lady cuts her finger off. You say you got sympathy for it? Nope. Nope. The whole purpose is out of hell. The whole purpose is out of hell. Well, they're just trying to wisely use Earth's resources, and I just think that's wonderful. Then your attitude's out of hell. All right? You've been led around by the nose, by the media, for so long that you can't even think without taking everything that somebody writes down or on. I mean, here, man, whoever thought that Dan Rather would tell the truth? Brother, what kind of an upside-down brain do you have? You realize that when Dan Rather picks on the president, it is a guy who makes $3 million a year picking on a guy that makes a couple hundred thousand. Dan Rather is a millionaire. He makes $3 million a year. Tom Brokaw makes $2 million a year. Poor Peter Jennings only makes 1.8. I should be so poor. You got a bunch of mega millionaires, media millionaires, and they pick on people. And you listen to that stuff, and you walk around saying, well, I think we have to take care of the earth. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we could make the earth good, and if all the environmentalists, everything they want to do, and if they have their way, and I've got it down in writing, if they have their way, we will be living once again in hunter-gatherer tribes. That's their statement, not mine. And if you could get this earth pristine and perfect and no polluted water and no polluted air and no holes in the ozone, I don't spend any time in the ozone. I don't worry about it. Yeah, brother. There's a hole in the ozone. Oh, well, step over here. What is this, you know? I'm worried about the ozone. I have great concern. Well, I don't spend any time there. Maybe you spend all your time in the ozone, then you worry about it, pal. Yeah, you do that, I'll go spray somebody's hairspray. Shh. CFC, 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 you know. I mean, just spray it out there. Listen, if we could present this earth to Jesus Christ in what we would consider picture perfect and a brand new Eden, you know what he would say? Burn it! I don't want it. Because the first thing he's going to do when he comes down here is he's going to say, burn the heaven and burn the earth. I don't want it. A bunch of rumdums down here worshiping the grass and worshiping the dirt and worshiping the trees and worshiping the animals. You know why? Because they have a downward look. If you have a downward look, you're going to be preoccupied with things that are under your feet. You're going to walk around. Hey, didn't you ever wonder about this? You know what they say about us? You guys use scare tactics. All you guys do, you use scare tactics. You don't have to tell people about hell. You're trying to scare them into getting saved. Wait a second. Some public school teacher got up from her class and said, there will be no earth as you know it by the year 2000, the rate we're going. I wasn't no preacher. I've never said that. Good night. I think there's going to be around longer than that. I know it's going to be around at least another 1,007 years. Right? We know that. Who's carrying the world's going to end tomorrow signs now? Well, you know, with the ecology coming apart like it is, and there's no... Do you know that there are more trees now than there were 20 years ago? Did you know that Weyerhaeuser Industries plants 9 trees for every tree that it cuts down? And in the last 20 years, they have cut down some trees, and they've planted more trees. And we have more trees in this country than we had 20 years ago. Right. Oh, you don't know that. I'll tell you why you don't know that. All you do is watch Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, and listen to your regular newspaper. That's why. Most uneducated, most ignorant people on this earth are the people that are preoccupied with this earth. Amen. You walk around with your nose in the grass all day long, worrying about,
wonder if this is the last one.
Probably is. Now we don't have to preserve it.
Come on, brother.
People, I'm going to tell you that the earth worshipers and the ecology movement and the environmental movement is a downward looking movement. It is out of hell. It is not from God. It is not from heaven. The Bible says in Genesis that when this earth was given to us, we were to have dominion over it. Get it straight, brother. I got three boys. I'm not the caretaker of any one of them. I run them. They're my sons. They're not your sons. You don't have to like the way I run them. I run them. State doesn't have to like the way I run them. I run them. They didn't have them. They can't love them. I love them. When I say, here's what you're going to do, I don't sit there and say, now I'm thinking about caretaking. I ain't caretaking them. I run them. I run this earth. Well, so do you. So do you. I mean, listen, brother, go step on an ant. Do something violent.
That's right.
Listen, the environmental movement, I'll tell you right now, listen, I was, you think about this. You know what where your kin were? I know about your kin. Now, you know where your kin were? Your kin folk come from Europe. Isn't that right? You know what your folks were doing a couple of thousand years ago? They were wearing animal skins and rubbing bear grease over each other and going out and splitting each other's skulls while the crops were growing. That's what they used to do. They'd go throw the wheat out there, and then they'd say, okay, let's go pound the other village into the turf, and we'll take their wheat too. And they would go to war and beat each other's brains out. You know this thing about, everybody says, well, now, are the Atlanta Braves? Oh, man, make them all Braves. That'll upset anybody. Good! Good! I mean, I was thinking, I think everybody that was a twin should have been in Atlanta protesting the Minnesota Twins. Anybody twins here? Why weren't you down at Atlanta saying, well, you're making fun of all of us twins, the Minnesota Twins. You're making fun of us. Stupid people. And I'm going to tell you something. The warlock man is not black. And the warlock man is not yellow. And the warlock man is not red. The warlock man is the guy sitting right here. You get Japheth, brother. That book says he'll possess the tents of Shem. Shem was the Indian. We got his tents.
Amen.
That was prophecy, and if they didn't like it, sorry. Go smoke a pipe. That's right. Your kin are bad news. Listen, brother, I mean, a couple of hundred years ago, some little old Chinese guy came up with gunpowder, and he made a little rocket. And he went, oh, it's nice. And Japheth came over and said, give me that there. Let's look ahead. And he took a piece of pipe and he poured that stuff down in there and he picked up a rock and he plugged it in. And that thing just went right through a hole. And he said, oh, nice. That really something. Now, don't tell me about Genghis Khan and all the Mongol hordes. I'm going to tell you, brother, Japheth is a guy. We are the most warlike people there are. All right? And that's where your kinfolk come. Your kinfolk are barbarians. And do you know why you're here today and your hair is cut and you are clean and you are clothed and you sit in your right mind? Because of Jesus Christ. Because when that Bible went through Europe, brother, it changed lifestyles. That's why you ladies, don't give me stuff about you need liberated. You already have been. Every place that Bible goes, they get liberated. And that's why you ladies already are, because of that Bible. You know something? This nation of ours and these earthbound people and these downward-looking people are so preoccupied with getting rid of every vestige of that Bible that they want you to take your clothes off. They want you to be dirty. They want you to be hunter, gatherer tribes. There's going to be no unity. It'll be a bunch of little people over here and a bunch of little people over here and a bunch of little people over here communing with nature. That's out of hell. That's ours too. I'll tell you who else is a downward-look people. Peaceniks. Again, scare tactics. Remember, the world's going to end. What else said? Oh, well, you know, there's enough nuclear weapons to kill everybody 100 times. Well, good. I like to know I'm taken care of. I like to know that I won't have to lay around. My message has always been, if you see an incoming nuclear missile, run under it. I want to be at the bottom of the crater.
Amen.
I may glow for first 1,000 or 2 years in heaven, but it'll wear off. I want to go to heaven. No lingering death for me, pal. Oh, give me this stuff, man. Oh, I mean, you know, I want my bomb shelter made out of cardboard. I want to go up. And you got these people running saying, don't you know they're going to kill all of us? Oh, haven't they yet? Well, I'm afraid of nuclear power. Well, you don't want them to burn the coal, and you don't want them to burn the trees, and now you don't want them to split the atoms. I mean, how do you plan on doing this electricity? Are you going to crank it with your hand? And you have these people run around, same thing. Talk about scare tactics. How's this for scare tactics, you know? All these pictures of nuclear this and nuclear that and what's going to happen. Of course, Carl Sagan, great man. What a wonderful genius. Says you can drop a hot bomb and make everything cold. He has nuclear winter. I think it's already set in between his ears. You say, well, I'm just interested in world peace. Then you're looking down.
Yeah.
You're preoccupied with a downward look.
Right.
And if you go to bed at night and you're worried, and they say, well, I'm feeling a lot better now that the Berlin Wall is down and now that the Iron Curtain is gone and now that Russia is no longer an enemy. Where you been? Oh, that's right. You've been watching channel CBS, NBC, and ABC. That's right. That's right. You're ignorant. That's right. I forgot. You don't have a Bible, right? Just like pagans, you have to follow the same thing that all the lost people follow. That's right. I forgot. You have to look down. And so the peaceniks are looking down. I'll tell you somebody else it is. Carnal Christians. They're earthbound. They're earthy. We say worldly. The Bible says earthy. You say, what do you mean, carnal Christians? I mean the people that think they got to have every toy that Kmart and Sears ever made. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This afternoon, you're going to go home after you eat here, and you're going to pick up your Sunday paper, and you're going to look through it if you haven't already, and you're going to get more excited over some sale flyer you find in that Sunday paper than you will over what I said this morning out of the Word of God. We say this is God's Word. We say we love this book, and when that book is opened, listen, I'm going to tell you today that we're in the age in America when attention Kmart shoppers will turn a Christian's head faster than thus saith the Lord. You'll get more excited over running down someplace and saving $5 on tomorrow's sale, and it's only open tomorrow, and so I've got to go tomorrow, and you'll get more excited about that stuff and put it in your garage and never use it. Right. I'm going to tell you, we're preoccupied. Hey, God forbid we live in America and don't get to buy every toy we ever wanted and play with it at least one time before God gets back. You know, a few years ago, somebody was saying, Lord's come back in 88. Then somebody says, come back in 89. I have not run this. I've gone from one coast of this country several times, from one coast to the other several times. I have not run into one Christian in this country yet who said, I got my heart right because I thought the Lord was coming back in 88, or I got my heart right because I thought the Lord was coming back in 89. I've run into a few who ran up their charge accounts to the limit. I've ran some that said, oh man, God forbid he come back, and I still got a $2,000 credit line, a credit limit on my credit card, on my Visa or MasterCard. So they ran out there, let the Antichrist pay for it. That's what they said. I'll play with it, he'll pay for it. I'm going to tell you something. You know what that is? That's a downward look. They weren't looking up, they were looking down. And if you sit around and all you can think about is looking down, everything that worries you and everything that bothers you and everything concerns you and everything that excites you is all bound on this earth, you got a problem.
Amen, sir.
You know, I see those. I see them in bumper stickers, you know, I'd rather be sailing. You look at a guy, if it don't have a gas engine on it, man, it doesn't do nothing for me. All right? Oh, give me this sailing stuff, you know, get out there, feel the wind. No, man, I mean, give me a... we were driving down the road, we saw this guy had 3 V8 Mercury engines on this boat that was as long as this auditorium. I mean, I want something that's going to kill fish, man. I mean, I don't want this thing to glide through the water. I want it to turn it, all right? I want things that are 30 feet down to be sucked off the bottom and spun a few times, man. Oh, they're like... He said, well, that's what I want. I just want me a four-wheel. You know, there was an age in this country when if you wanted to have a good time, you went out and spent, $50 on a bowling ball? And if you were really a fanatic, you bought bowling shoes. Now you got to spend $5,000 on a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
Now you got to have a windsurfer. Now you got to have every toy that there is. People, I'm going to tell you, the problem is it is a preoccupation with looking down. All you're doing is you're looking down. What do? You read the paper. And you look down, and all you do is you go there, and you put down your money, and you lay it down on the line, and you walk out, because now you know what people tell you? They say, why don't we just get down to earth? I'd rather not.
Amen.
Well, you know,
We don't want to be so heavenly minded, we're of no earthly good.
You ever run anybody like that? I haven't. I mean, I think we need a few of those people just to kind of balance the thing out, don't you? Don't you believe in balance? I mean, that's the God everybody's worshiping in Christianity today. We're all interested in balance. I tell people, I thank God there was a queer on the ark just so that there was some balance. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad there's some drunkards and some perverts around. I mean, we wouldn't want the world to be completely clean. There'd be no balance. And so maybe somebody needs to read the Bible for some balance. People, we look down. People that look, that are preoccupied with a downward look are people that have a need of things. You know what that book says is required for contentment? Now, if I told you, if I asked you today if you're content, if you were on, you all say, oh, yes, yes, you liar. You're not content. Not till you get to the sale. Not till you burp a few times after the meal. That's right. You know what the Bible says that should content you? Food and raiment. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 6. With food and raiment, thereby be content. You got food? I can smell it. Most of you ate before you came, and you'll eat again today. I mean, the only thing that fast has to do with our eating is how fast we eat. And you're dressed. You say, oh, this old rag. Yeah, that old rag. What I'm saying is that everything you've got in your possession that is above food and raiment is a luxury from God.
Amen.
You got a car?
Yeah.
Wasn't required. You got a house?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't required. What do you? You got a couch? Wasn't required. You like to sit down and read a good book? Wasn't required. Your problem is that you thought that Kmart and Penny's and Sears and Visa and MasterCard and all those could take care of your contentment. What you don't realize is that if you're dressed and your belly's full, you've already got everything that is needed for contentment. You say, then how come I'm not content? Because you're looking down. Because you are preoccupied with looking down and you think that all you can do, you're like a kid going through a rock parking lot picking out every shiny stone. You collect them. What for? Well, I just got to have them. What are you going to do with them? Well, I don't know. It looked nice and I wanted it. That's what I just described your living room. You know, there was a day when we wanted to have a house that had a roof to keep the rain off of us, that had walls to keep the wind off of us, and we could heat it and cool it so that we would be not too cold in the winter and not too hot in the summer. Now you're not satisfied unless your living room or your house looks like a page out of Country Living magazine. You'll spend more on the junk you hang on the walls and got standing in the corners than you will on the furniture in the place. You say, why? Preoccupied with things. Downward looking. Every newspaper you get, go pick up the paper. Go. I have not seen today's paper. You want me to prophesy for you? It's going to be looking down. You think it's going to get up and say, well, you think the headline say, Jesus might come today? You think you'll pick up your local paper, it's going to say that? You think you'll go by USA Today one of these days and it's going to say, well, we really expected the Lord to come last week, but we're just hoping He comes next week. You think that's what's going to happen? No. You think you're going to read an article on the environment in the New York Times that says, well, now it looks like things are running down. The Lord must be getting ready to come back. Oh, no. I'm going to guarantee you whatever is on the front page of today's paper is worried about the earth. Whatever it is, it's worried about peace. It's worried about the earth. It's worried about some stupid little thing. Who got a razor blade in their Halloween devil night candy? I mean, that's what it's going to be interested in, isn't it? People, I'm telling you, that those are people that have a downward look. Why? Because they live like animals. You say, but I'm saved. Then quit living like an animal.
Right.
You're not an animal. You're not an animal. You didn't evolve. But why do you live like an animal? Why do you always walk looking down? Spirit of an animal is downward. Spirit of a man is supposed to be upward. Adam was earthy and downward. Jesus is heavenly and upward. We're supposed to be looking upward, not downward. Not that time. You know what your problem is? Everything that happens, you evaluate with a downward look. together and do something with them just to show us our theology is always screwed up.
Amen.
Hey, I just see 10 nations get together. I don't care what 10 it is, man. Get them all together. I don't care. Because I'm getting out of here. And I pick up, I read the paper, and you know what I know? I know the Lord's coming back. And what I'm telling you tonight, today is that everything that you evaluate, if you evaluate it with a downward look, when all you're worried about is what's going to happen, will there be fallout, will there be ultraviolet rays giving me skin cancer? Downward look. A downward look. That's all you're thinking about. The only person supposed to have a downward look is God looking down on us to give us a blessing. That's what the book says in Deuteronomy. So people, I'm telling you that if you've got a downward look, that's where you're at. Somebody that, if you have an upward look, if you can start looking up, if you can put enough of this Bible to where you're preoccupied with heaven and Jesus Christ and this book and the Lord coming back, I'm going to tell you, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to worry as much as you do. I'm probably talking to somebody who's got a stomach ulcer right now, and most of what's tearing you up is what you read in the paper, what you hear in the news. You, some of you are emotionally tore up from looking down. You have spent all your time looking down, and every time you hear something, it's, oh, no, what am I going to do? And hair turning gray or turning loose, whichever the case is. I mean, you're sick, you're worried, you can't sleep at night. You know why? Because you're looking down. I'm going to tell you something, man. When you start looking up, you don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. I read this book, and I was reading it today. I was reading the Proverbs, you know, and it was talking about how no matter how bad things get, the Lord's going to take care of you and everything's all right. And I was looking at it, and I think, boy, I like that. I just like that. The Lord's going to take care of me no matter how bad it gets. And I want you to know it's getting bad. I mean, it's going to get so bad that you're not going to be able to say some of the things I've said today from this pulpit without end up in jail. You say, does that worry you? Three meals a day and a roof over my head. And I'll be looking for Jesus to come. So when you have an upward look, you'll worry less. When you have an upward look, you'll get less involved in this world.
Amen.
We are observers. We are sojourners. We are, in essence, supposed to live in a tent. I'm not telling you to get rid of your house and get a tent. I'm not telling you to get rid of your house and get a trailer. I'm just saying that, you know, I was talking to a pastor one time, and he said, I got this problem in church. I said, you did? Yeah, this and this and this. And what do you think of that? I said, you know what I think? He said, what? I said, I think that in 3 days I'll be out of here. That's what I said. He said, I'm just the evangelist. I'm just here for the week. If there's a problem in this church, I'll leave it back with your pastor on Friday. See what I'm saying? It's his problem. Yes. God bless you, brother. I just get in my little vehicle. I just hook my van up to my house, and down the road we go. And probably by the time I leave, he'll have more problems than he had before I came in.
Amen. Yeah.
But listen. Listen, that should be your attitude about the world.
Amen.
So he says, oh, pretty soon there won't be any trees. I don't care, I'm getting out of here. We're going to pollute all the water. I'm getting out of here. We're going to use up. And now, by the way, all that stuff is a lie.
Amen. Exactly.
I mean, all of that stuff is untrue.
That's right.
There is no global warming. It's already been scientifically proven. You say, well, why don't I hear about it? Because where you get all your information. Remember ABC, NBC, CBS? They're not going to tell you that. In fact, PBS, Public Broadcasting System, somebody's going to have a special on global warming, and it was going to scientifically point out that there is no global warming, that it is a lie, and they were going to prove it scientifically, and PBS says, we can't have that. They canceled it because it wasn't politically correct. So what's that mean? Didn't agree with the lie. That was a problem. And I'll tell you something. Now look, I think abortion is murder.
Yeah.
But I'm not picketing abortion clinics. Say why? I'm not trying to clean up the earth. I'm waiting for the Lord to come back.
Amen.
I don't want them to push the button. It won't bother me none if they do.
Amen.
But I'm not worried about it. And if the last spotted owl dies tomorrow, I'll sleep well tonight. You know what one of the latest ones is? I mean, it's crazy. They're worried about the African elephant going extinct. Haven't you been concerned about that? Well, what's wrong with you? Aren't you civic-minded citizens? Said that the African elephant is going extinct because poachers are shooting it and taking its tusks. What do you care? Do you realize if the last African elephant died while I was talking to you, what did it do? What did it do to your life? Nothing. Now, what happened to this evolution? And most of the people are worried about evolutionists, right? Whatever that fine, upstanding evolutionary principle, survival of the fittest. Put you in a room with an African elephant, wait about a half hour, see who wins. Right? I mean, all these people saying, take care of the African elephant. Man, that dude take care of himself. I'll take care of me. But you know, the interesting thing was, it said, you know what country, the two countries that the people are the most concerned about the African elephant going extinct? You know what two nations are most concerned about? America and England. You know, where there ain't a whole lot of African elephants stomping your garden and your kids and your house into the ground. I can just see some poor African man living in some thatch hut, and this rogue elephant comes charging through it. I mean, smashes his family to pieces, does a dance on his garden, and as he's disappearing into the jungle, some limey, some yank, walk up and put an arm around him on each side and say, "Pee-pee-poo, boy, the poor thing." Yes. I sure hope he didn't stub his toe on your... We may have to sue you if he hurt his foot on your thatch. I don't care if they all die. I'm a Baptist preacher, all right? Ain't no chicken shortage, so I ain't worried.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When there is, I guarantee you there won't be a safe dog or cat around, all right? I just figure a dog is a chicken with four drumsticks. People with an upward look, get this, people with an upward look have a hope. People with an upward look have a hope. I'm going to give you some real bad news that I believe. I believe that if everybody in this place is saved, and I don't know that, but if everybody in this place is saved, if there's not one pervert in this place, if the Lord tarries his coming, some of you will get AIDS. I believe that. I don't think you can do it. Now understand, people. You say, well, we need to have compassion. No.
Amen.
There are two groups, AIDS carriers, AIDS victims. The ones that the newspaper and they play the violin about are the AIDS victims. A little 11-year-old boy died in Florida from a transfusion. He's an AIDS victim. He was murdered by an AIDS carrier.
Yes, sir.
I had it down in writing. I lost it. Some queer. All right. Does that bother you? Good. He ain't gay. Guarantee he ain't gay. It's queer. Okay, you don't like that. He's a pervert. Alright. Said in 1983, we will sabotage the nation's blood supply to spread AIDS to get attention to this problem.
That's what he
said. Alright. You've got the AIDS victims. I feel sorry for them, though I want you to know that if my kids was in school, victim or carrier, I don't care. I don't want my kids sitting next to them, and you don't want yours either. Yeah. Don't get your eyes all bright and say, well, I think you don't think nothing.
Amen, sir.
That's your whole problem.
Yeah.
On the other side, you got the AIDS carriers. We live on the road. I tell people, listen, man, we go into some bathrooms on the road where the AIDS virus is hanging in spirals from the ceilings like gypsy beads, pal. I mean, you got to kind of get this way in there. All my boys know how to flush the toilet with their feet. Now, look, if the Lord tarries, you're probably saying, well, I'm really worried about that. Where are you going?
Sorry.
What's so torn about it? I think go wash your hands and take care of yourself and not be a pervert. But where are you going? Listen, when you've got Jesus Christ, and when you've got an upward look, you've got hope.
Amen.
You've got hope.
Yes,
they say, well, everybody's getting cancer. Everybody's getting cancer. What do you know? I'll bet everybody here knows somebody with cancer.
Yeah.
I'll bet everybody here knows somebody with cancer. I just heard about somebody else having cancer. He says, does it bother you? Yeah, it bothers me. I don't like to see people come down with cancer. But I'll tell you something. I just had a preacher friend of mine in California who fought cancer for 3 years. You say, what happened? He still won.
Amen.
In July they buried him, and he still won. People would honestly say, how come? Got a hope. You didn't have to worry about it. People with an upward look have a hope. I'm not an optimist. You can't tell that. But I've flown planes enough to know this. When I see the low scud, when I see the The skies are gray. You know what I know? I have been on enough planes on a gray day that when we took off, we went up through those clouds, and it was blue sky and sunny above that.
Yeah.
And that has really helped my outlook, because now I see all that gray and all that ugly, and I say, you know what? Right above them clouds, it's blue sky. Things are just fine. Looking up.
Amen.
You say, well, man, it's looking awfully dark. Oh, you're just not looking up high enough.
Amen.
Buddy,
amen.
Where I'm looking, angels are singing right now. Where I'm looking, there are winged seraphim flying over the throne of my God saying, glory, glory to the Lord God Almighty. I mean, where I'm looking, brother, there's guys with more faces on them than a Christian who are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And you say, well, that doesn't excite me. That's because you're looking down. That's because you're preoccupied with dirt and wood and stone and blood and mud and paper and money, and you're looking down so much you can't hurt your neck to look up.
Yeah.
Didn't you ever know? You know, I got a computer cabinet in my trailer, and because of the space requirement, because of where I had to put it, I laid it out in a different manner, and I built it, or I designed it. I had a cabinet maker build it. You know what people do? I broke my neck a few years ago, so I especially can't look up too well. People put a computer on a table right here, and then they put a monitor right here on top of the computer, generally. And then they type on their keyboard, and they're looking at their monitor, and pretty soon their neck hurts. So what I found is I noticed this. I've got my computer here, my printer's on a shelf down here, and right here at an angle, about that much of an angle, is my monitor under my computer. You know why? Because when you sit down, you naturally look down. Our head is made so you naturally look down. And I just sat down. I had my wife measure from the floor so I get the right angle for that monitor. And I put that monitor right where I naturally look. Pal, it ain't hanging from my ceiling. Because that ain't where I naturally look. An earthly man, a natural man, naturally looks down. A spiritual man, a heavenly-minded man, will look up. Looking up is not natural. If you're more upset by what you've read, heard on the news, you're all tore up about a high estate losing. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, listen, man, I'm a high estate fan. I'm a Browns fan. I'm a Bengals fan. And since I was telling somebody the other day, since Browns got rid of Schottenheimer, I've even become a Kansas City fan. But now, there's a rumor they're thinking about starting a professional baseball team in Cleveland. I don't know. But I can see why the Indians are insulted by them being called Indians. But anyway, I meant Native Americans. Oh, we only call them Indians. Might scalp you. But, I like football. I do. But you know something? I couldn't care less. They win, they lose. It's all gone now. It's all gone now. And some of you guys are all torn up about who won and what's the chance for the Rose Bowl now. What do you care? All looking down. All looking down just like a dog sniffing around for something that's been dead for 2 weeks. People, it's a downward look. We're supposed to be looking upward. If you want to see why you look down? Look at Psalm 40. And this may describe you this morning. Psalm 40, verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken up hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Hey, you're looking at a guy who's getting less sins all the time. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Some of you can't look up today. Why? Because innumerable evils have compassed you about, and your iniquities have taken hold of you, and you can't look up. You've got you a problem. You say, well, what should I do? You should read Psalm 5, of course. Psalm 5. And Psalm 5 says, this verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You say, but I need some intervention here. I need some help. My iniquities have got me looking down. So many things have come past me about that I just can't look up. Just like it said in Psalm 40 verse 12, I can't look up. I have too much on me. I have too much weight. Yet Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. You need somebody to help you. Say, yes, I know. And the problem is they cost $90 an hour. I ain't kind of help you need. Listen, we're headed in this country for the day when if you don't have a shrink take care of you, they'll think you're crazy. You're going to talk to somebody someday and they're going to go, well, you know, my psychologist, they just changed that because everybody's scared to go to a psychiatrist. See, if you went to a psychiatrist, they knew you were nuts. If you went to a psychologist, somehow that makes you healthy. Well, my psychologist says, you know, this and that. What does yours say? Oh, gee, I don't have one. Really? Are you crazy? No, it's worse. I'm normal. But I will say this morning that if your iniquities have got you down to where you cannot look up, if the things that compass you about have got you to where you cannot look up, as it said in Psalm 40, then look at verse 22. Mark 8:22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man, that's your problem today, by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, you say, well, I don't want anybody to spit on my eyes. You'd want Jesus to.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Some of you just like having spit on your checkbook, I know. But it may be your eyes that need the ointment. Spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him. He asked him what he saw, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. You know where some of you are right now? Some of you are right in the middle of verse 24. Some of you have been looking down so long and been blind so long that everything I've said has only made it to where you can see men as trees walking. You still can't see clearly. Some of you can sense inside you that there's truth to what I've said, but you can't get your mind off what you read before you came here. You can't get your mind off going home and turn on your stinking TV set and getting lost in more things that are directed downward. Right now, something inside you says, I am trying to look up, but every time I look up, I see men as trees walking. You know what you need the Lord to do? You need the Lord to touch you. You need the Lord to literally put His hands over the spiritual eyes of your heart, and you need to direct your sight upward. It said, He made him look up. That's what you need to do. You need somebody to make you look up. I'll leave you with Luke 21. You all worried about the earth. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth. Distress of nations. You think we got that? With perplexity. Think we got that? The sea and the waves roaring. Just wiped out the East Coast. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Some of you, the major problem, Christian, saved, on your way to heaven, the major problem, the one problem you've had in your spiritual life has been you've been preoccupied with looking down. You've been worried about the job. You've been worried about the checkbook. You've been worried about your health. You've been worried about your money. You've been worried about the earth. You've been worried about world peace. You've been worried about nuclear energy. You've been worried about the animals. You've been worried about the water supply. You've been worried about the air supply. Worried about the oil supply. Worried about pollution. You have been worried about everything under your feet. You've been walking around nosing around something that's been dead for 6,000 years, like an old dog looking for a scrap to eat. You have been, as Ecclesiastes said, just like an animal whose spirit is downward. Just like Adam, who was earthy. What you need this morning is to change your look. You don't need new lipstick. You don't need new makeup or another set of glass frames. You don't need a new hairstyle. I mean, you need to change the direction you're looking. You need to look up. He said, when you saw these things coming, you should look up. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. He said, oh, preacher, I'm so worried about what's going on in this world. I'm excited about it. I'm getting out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the brethren, I've been across this country, some of the brethren have been looking down so much that now they think we're going through the tribulation. They can't get their eyes heavenward. Let me ask you a couple questions this morning. How many of you would say this, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved, and I want you to know, I don't know if you can be honest on this, I want you to know that I've been a little bit too preoccupied with looking downward this morning, and I need to change the direction that I'm looking. Here's my hand, would you pray for me? Come on, Christians, be honest. You've been nosing around newspapers and the major news media. All right, put your hands down. You listen to CNN and Ted Turner. Oh, Ted Turner. Yes, he's the man with the Family Channel. Yes, Humanist of the Year. Yeah. Humanist of the Year. Amen. He hates your Bible with every breath he takes. You say, but he's got all those good movies. He'll do anything to keep you out of that book. He'll do anything to keep your family around that boob too. And out of your Bible. Is there anybody who would say this, preacher, I do not completely see what you've said this morning. I might be there in Mark 8:24, seeing men as trees walking. I'm still upset by the things of this world, but I vaguely see what you're saying, but I need the Lord to open my eyes to it. Now, can you put your hand up on that? Is there anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. That's all I want to do. All right, some of you know what you need to do? You need to come up here and let the one that could make a blind man not only see, didn't just make him see, made him do what? Look up. The one that could take a blind man and make him look up. You need him to have you look up. What you need to do is ask him and say, God, next time I see something in this world that used to worry me and make me look down, help me. Be there. And when I go to look down, grab me by the chin and say, no, up there, up there. Look up there. Look up there. Look at the spiritual. Don't be an animal. Be a man. Don't be earthy. Be heavenly. Don't be associated with Adam. Be associated with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. The pianist will come. Brother, come and lead us in invitation. If God has dealt with your heart about something wrong with your eyes this morning, if you want to talk to the master that made your eyes, I think he could make them work right. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for this book. I thank you, God, for how wonderful it is. I thank you, God, for all the good things it says and how it even interprets the bad things. God, we are living in the middle of the last days. We are seeing some of the things that you said would come true before you came back come true. And yet, God, I've got people standing in this room right now that are worried about the dirt under their feet. They don't worry about somebody taking your name in vain. They don't worry about people going to hell. They don't worry about the gospel being stifled. They don't worry about a missionary that doesn't have enough money to get to the field to tell people about you. They're worried about the price of gas this morning, God. They're worried about pure drinking water. They're worried about a new toy that they want to buy and don't quite have enough to pay for it yet. God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on these people and grant them repentance. Get some folks who've been looking down to look up. Help us to remember that our redemption draweth nigh. God, if there's folks here who the things that have compassed them about and their iniquities have made it so they cannot look up, touch them. Touch them. And take them as you would the chin of a child and just raise their head skyward and help them to spend the rest of their life looking up. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Brother, what do you want to say?
308.
Number 308. What is that?
I surrender all.
All right, number 308. I surrender all. If God has spoken to your heart about something, if you need to come and talk to Him, you've got the time right here. This is it.
All to Jesus I surrender.
You need to come. You step out.
I freely give.
Been worried? Troubled?
In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Before we sing the second verse, you think about this. If you were in the Sunday school lesson this morning, if you've got a God that's got a guy that works for Him, that's got the power of somebody like Michael, how could you worry? If your God's got somebody like Michael working for Him, how could you worry? Do we not have the God that could speak or that could rebuke the Red Sea and split it wide open? Right? Do we not have a God that can speak and raise somebody from the dead? We have a God that can touch somebody and heal leprosy, right? If you've got that God, how could you spend your time looking down? How can you be so tore up if you've got that God? You've got a God, listen, Buddha today is a fat pile of dust and every other major religion leader is a pile of dust. Our God came out of the grave. On the second verse, you need to come and talk to Him, you come.
All to Jesus.
You need to come. Step out.
Come here and pick us hymn.
I need a couple of fellas to move this pulpit, if you will, and flowers and stuff, and we'll have baptism
real quick, and then we'll dismiss.
Come on, brother. Father, we come to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the personal Savior, and we've not been born again. Now, I'm not going to give it all the call in the case where they come forward before we go. You say that to me, Christian. I'm not saved. I'm not sure that's my soul. God, concerned for my soul, pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone else? Concerned for your soul, we're not saved. All right? All right, I see you other than anyone else. Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll let you thank you.